Tonight's Fear the Walking Dead recap is sponsored by CanvasPeople.com. Summer is behind us, and hopefully you had lots of good times, that you took plenty of photos during the summer. But what are you going to do with those photos? Here's an idea. Use CanvasPeople.com and turn those photos into a beautiful work of art on a nice canvas that you can hang up on your wall with Canvas People, because for their special $0 pricing for post-show recaps listeners, you can go ahead and get an 11 by 14 canvas photo printed from any of your pictures, from your phone, from your camera, for $0 pricing. Just pay the shipping. It's less than $20 altogether. Just think about all of the photos that Lola could be hanging up on that dam on Fear the Walking Dead. There's so many that you could put out there. Nicole and I have been using Canvas People since we first heard about it, and we have been very happy with the results that we've gotten. It's so easy to do. Just upload the photos and turn them into a great looking work of art. Over a million satisfied customers so far at CanvasPeople.com. So to get the special offer, go to CanvasPeople.com, upload your photo, select 11 by 14 and enter promo code POST in the promo code box and get that special $0 pricing. That's CanvasPeople.com, promo code POST. Fear the Walking Dead Season 3, Episode 11 is over, but we're just getting started here on the Fear the Walking Dead post-show recap. And now, here are the two guys who are trudging through the tunnels to get to you, to bring you this podcast. I'm Rob Sister, and here's Josh Wiggler. Josh, how are you?
Mler. Oh, God, it's so gross down here. This is disgusting. What have we gotten ourselves into? Get me out of here, Rob. Get me out of here. I don't know what you have dragged me down into, but these tunnels are nasty.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Josh, the water queen is here. The water queen stays queen.
Oh, God. I know that the water walker is kind of a cool concept. Yeah. We have seen many a waterlogged zombie that has impressed, left impressions. You know, we remember these things. We remember the well walker very fondly.
Sure.
Can we please start a petition here for no more waterlogged walkers? We've seen enough. They
well,
we are
hope
disgusting.
He was just waterlogged.
Oh God, he was logged in some stuff. He was water lodged at least. Jesus. God.
That was like a very quick cut from, they had like all right, we gotta detach this guy, and they just started smashing him with the machete, and then it was like, oh, what's going on? Like, did like a water like just come in and flood that tube? And then on the next, they were just out of that when they came back from commercial. So that was the yada yada, probably the grossest part of that.
You say a quick cut, but you have to imagine the process with which that they had to extricate that walker. Must have taken hours. Mm-hmm. And like even just like getting rid of like the first parts of the body, it felt like it was an excruciating amount of time that we were forced to watch this. This is one of the worst moments in all of the Walking Dead franchises. Like, this was just disgusting. I hated this. It was horrible to sit through. I'm very upset. So this podcast will double as therapy for me, as I hope that it will for many other listeners.
Yeah, just a little inside baseball that a lot of times I have to sort of multitask eating dinner and then also watching what I'm about to podcast about at night.
How did that go tonight? So, oh, yeah. My God.
This was not great.
Wait, what did you have for dinner tonight?
Pretty much the same thing I have every night, which is just a piece of chicken.
A piece of chicken, like that's it? You just have like a slab of chicken on a plate?
Let's not do this right now. I have a episode for you to watch about this.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Okay, so we had a lot of struggle between the commodity of the water at the dam. Lola is sort of like a very righteous ruler of the dam. Salazar is really the heavy here, trying to, you know, he's very hawkish. He wants to basically go to war with the townspeople. Madison feels like that she can just come in here with Strand and just make a deal, but but it's a lot more complicated than even Madison is going to expect. My question here, Josh, is why not give the angry villager some water?
That seems like a great, great question. I think that the water, I don't really understand the full extent of the supply of the water. I think once they start inviting too many people into the dam culture, maybe they start running out of water too swiftly. I don't understand why Daniel especially is so upset with the idea of giving water to the villagers. I think maybe he's been through this before. Like, this is feeling like kind of a relapse of some of the dynamics that he has lived through in wartime in the past, given what we know about his history. But that being said, I do wonder, like, do you think that Daniel is on edge again? Like, I know that that has been a thing with him in the past. Should we be worried about just Salazar's sanity at this point in time?
Yeah, that's a good point. That could Salazar be having a relapse? That is definitely a possibility. He says he's better. We're not seeing him sort of like
I'm good. I'm
or
good.
Anything like that.
Yeah. I'm not looking to start any fires. I'm not
right.
trying to cause any destruction.
Yeah.
But he does have that moment with Strand later on where he's like, hey, you know, if you want to do anything kind of crazy, as long as it's like my kind of crazy, I'm in.
Right. Yeah. The show has done a bad job of presenting what the ultimate issue is with the dam. Lola says to Madison at one point, well, we don't have enough water to spare. She can't spare a square of the water. And then she says, well, we don't have water for you. We see Lola, you know, her sort of like a right-hand guy, which I don't have his name at the moment, that he's saying his idea is, let's just open up the dam, let the water run through the streets, let God decide where the water should go. That seems like the worst plan out of any of them.
It seems like a bad plan, but I mean, I can't be that upset about it because that actor is Jesse Borrego of 24 fame. We're talking about Gael Ortega right now. One of my favorite moles in 24 history.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just thrilled that he exists here on Fear of the Walking Dead. So even if his plans seem harebrained, I'm willing to follow them all the way down the tunnel, because it will probably lead to some sort of epic death for this character. And just watching him die both in Con Air and 24, this man is a great death actor. So I can only imagine that his Fear of the Walking Dead demise will be spectacular whenever we get to it.
Ultimately, Madison negotiates this deal with them where they're going to be getting 10,000 gallons of water a week from the dam, which sounds like a lot. I just don't know, like, when the villagers are there with their Brita, like, standing there with like a bucket, like, and it seems like there's like 40 of them. It seems like, okay, just keep these people happy, and then you don't need to make this gigantic trade with Madison to get all the guns to fend off the villagers.
Well, we are trying to kind of forecast what's the conflict of Fear of the Walking Dead, the back half of season three. What's this going to be? Because it makes sense that Madison and Salazar are going to be able to find some common ground, especially with Ophelia potentially back in the mix as kind of a bargaining chip and somebody who can kind of heal the bridge between the Salazar side and the Madison side. So, like, what's the conflict really going to be between Madison and Salazar's sides of the dam? It shouldn't be that contentious because they're mostly on the same page, these two. So you got to think about, like, where are those conflicts going to exist? We know in one corner, when you're looking at the ranch, Troy is out there. He's in the mix. He's somewhere out in the ether, and you and I talked about this last week, that he could potentially be somebody who comes back into things and rallies the militia again and reignites whatever, you know, kind of racial tensions are happening or territorial tensions at the very least exist at the ranch. And that could be a source of fire for this back half of season three. And what's it going to be for the dam? Because the dam has also been a very big storyline here in season three. And there's this manufactured idea of, like, creating further tensions, like deepening the tensions between the villagers and the people who are in charge of the dam. And Strand is kind of really engineering that here with this whole, I would love to sit in on his class of like how you just like set off one of those truck bombs. That seems very impressive what he was able to pull off here.
Well, this entire episode was peak Strand, by the way.
Peak Strand, by the way. I'm sure we'll get into that for sure, but we're just talking in the grand scheme of things. I definitely want to drill down into what Victor Strand is all about. Oh, yeah, vintage Victor for sure. We had a great Victor Strand episode tonight, so we'll talk about that. But there is this idea of just like kind of deepening the tensions between the villagers and the people in charge of the dam. And it's not necessarily because of like the extreme actions that are being taken by the villagers. It's really because Strand is just kind of kicking things into overdrive. So you wonder, like, is there some sort of future alliance between Troy and the militia and the villagers of the dam? And then you see like Salazar and Madison's side starting to link up, and what happens there? So I'm not exactly sure where things are going to go in terms of those sides of the story, but where, you know, I think that it's great for the forward momentum of this back half of Fear the Walking Dead season 3 that we finally have Salazar and Madison back in the same worlds. We know where Ophelia is. So all of these stories are threading into each other. And it's been kind of compelling to have these stories sort of segregated on their own. I do think the Salazar episode in the first half of this season was a really great episode of the show.
Yeah.
One of the best episodes of the show, which isn't necessarily saying much, but it definitely was one of the best episodes of the show.
You haven't done your episode rankings for Fear the Walking
Dead yet? I'm working on it.
Working on it.
That's an off-season podcast, Rob. Off-season. We'll talk about that in maybe January, February, whenever we're in between season 8 of the proper Walking Dead. I do think that will be pretty high. This episode ranking also will not exist. I promise you that. But I do think that we're kind of in this interesting standing in the show right now, where we're trying to you know, bridge the gap between these storylines, and clearly we've got everybody in the same place. It was great to see Strand and Madison finally get back together here in the 2-hour premiere for season 3. I think it's really great to get Salazar back in the mix as well. It's fun to see all these characters together.
Well, I do think that the major storyline that's being set up that you didn't really get into yet is the Meet the Parents storyline going on, where Ophelia's dad does not approve of Ophelia's new boo. Now, again, why would Walker needed to volunteer the information to Salazar about how that, Ophelia, she's a hero. She poisoned a bunch of people for us. And Salazar is like, she did what? She did what?
I'm pretty upset that AMC and Chris Hardwick have not yet launched the Taka Dead. Like, I feel like the fact that that doesn't exist yet is kind of offensive to me. I don't know how you feel. I know that you're typically the Talking Dead expert here.
Yeah, Strand is on the Talking Dead tonight with the Water Queen, Lola.
They ought to rebrand it, I think. Just the Talking Dead right now, I think it's a... You know, the opportunity is there. It's low-hanging fruit, Rob.
That would be good. So I'm not sure exactly.
Wait a second, though. Wait. So the Talking Dead actually is happening right now? Like, it's active. It's a weekly show during Fear of the Walking Dead right now, because I haven't
it's
been
paying
much. It's
a weekly show even when there's not Walking Dead. They just call it the Chris Hardwick show when there's no Walking Dead going on.
How are things going on the Taka Dead right now?
I think it's a little bit of a struggle for Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, that's just the impression that you're getting. Like, you can feel that vibe that like this is a thirsty
he
man.
Have the same pizzazz he has during the regular Walking Dead.
They're slower shows. Yeah. Slower shows. Yeah.
I mean,
you're really stretching out every word and just really trying to make a meal out of an episode of Fear the
Walking Dead. It's all in the opening of the show, where after a regular episode of The Walking Dead, he comes on. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe what just happened. Sasha with Negan. Oh my God. What's going to happen next? We'll tell you from this. Where that really he does a lot more of a like plot synopsis in the opening of Fear the Talking Dead, where he says, okay, tonight, Madison made a deal with Lola to get water and get the guns, but is it a good deal? I don't know. We'll talk about it. Maybe something will happen. What's with Salazar? where's Ophelia? He just is sort of like resetting what you just saw. There's not really the excitement in his voice.
Well, that's sad. That's sad to hear. I'm glad that you're still hanging in there and just like giving him some support.
We're podcasting right after the episode, so I have to go back on DVR.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm just assuming that you're going to go ahead and watch
Sure. Well, Strand is on.
Kind of your thing. Yeah. Strand is there. You know, Coleman Domingo. That guy is the best. I love that guy.
But just to go back to this idea of the, okay, so Salazar versus Walker is going to be a thing over Ophelia. And, you know, Salazar is, you know, he's had some issues with different suitors that Ophelia has brought home in the past.
Yes.
Going back to when he tortured that army guy back in the first six episode season of the Fear the Walking Dead. So I don't know where it's going to ultimately come to a head. Is it going to be that Walker, when he finds out that Madison has given away all the guns, and Daniel obviously wants the guns to defend the dam, is it going to sort of really be about Ophelia, but it's going to manifest over the guns?
Well, Ophelia is clearly being set up as a bargaining chip. Lola makes it clear, like, Ophelia's got to be there. And Salazar says to Madison before Madison leaves, like, and make sure you bring my daughter. You know, like, Ophelia is being set up as the fulcrum vote.
Yes.
You know, she's really being set up as the swing vote here. And it's interesting to me because, yes, she's been important to Walker and Walker's agenda and everything that Walker was plotting against the ranch and making sure that that power shift occurred. But we didn't, I don't think that we really got into this when we talked about the premiere, but I was kind of getting some sort of the show is setting up maybe the possibility for an Ophelia and Nick relationship.
Whoa.
In the premiere. Were you feeling that at all? There was this moment in the premiere where Nick and Ophelia, they kind of come together. They're meeting in the middle of the night. I think he goes to her home. And they kind of talk about the things that they've done. And I didn't know if there was any sort of romantic tension there at all. I kind of felt like there was a tiny, tiny bit. And I do wonder if that's happening. And like that would just kind of complicate things even further.
Sure.
Like maybe unnecessarily so. But either way, I think that Ophelia, who has kind of been a sort of shrug your shoulders type of character on Fear of the Walking Dead until towards the end of the first half of season three, where she clearly becomes very, very important. But up until that moment, it's kind of like, this is just a character who exists. She's connected to Salazar, who is a guy that we really like. We really like Ruben Blades' performance as Daniel Salazar. But there's really not much happening with this character in particular. And she becomes a very important figure in that first half of season three, where she is poisoning everybody on the ranch, which is kind of insane that she's just like going like full Sarah Connor on these people. Kind of even looks like Sarah Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are now getting this sense that she's going to be a massively important figure here. And I wonder if that's a short-term proposition or a long-term proposition. But either way, we're threading the Salazars back into the world of the Clarks. And we also do have that Walker aspect, and not the Walkers in the waterlogged zombie sense of the word. We've got the Taka Walker, who is a big fan of Ophelia. And I do wonder what that relationship is going to be like between him and Salazar moving forward. I can't imagine it's going to be great.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like Salazar is super into the fact that Walker has kind of weaponized his daughter.
Right. That is an interesting point, too, about a potential Nick and Ophelia love angle in the show.
Am I crazy or did you pick up on that at all? Like, it felt like maybe a possibility to me.
The show ended up just writing Nick's last love interest, Luciana, just out of the show very abruptly, where she's like, I'm not going to stay here at the ranch. This is not for
me.
I'm going to go to the tunnels. And then we kind of thought that was going to be a subplot. But then she was just gone. There's not really an eligible young lady at the ranch for Nick to be with. So in terms of a love interest for Nick, that it's really slim pickings right now. So I don't know. It might just be that she's the only woman there and we're reading too much into it. That would get very complicated, though.
I think the other piece of that, though, is in terms of like the character work that needs to be done for that. I think if you're removing Nick's love interest from the playing field so that you're paving the way for some sort of love story between Nick and Ophelia, that's a harder distance to travel if you have like suddenly killed Nick's love interest in horrible fashion. But if she has some agency in the choice and she decides to leave the ranch and she goes off on her own and Nick kind of just trusts that she needs to go off and pursue her destiny, he can kind of get over that easier than watching her die in some sort of gruesome fashion. So if you need Nick and Ophelia to kind of get together sooner in this back half of season three, the stage is set for that by the fact that they let Nick's prior love interest live, the fact that she is alive, that she's able to go off on her own. So I do wonder about it. It's something that's in my mind of just a possibility that might be on the show. I don't think the possibility of a Nick and Ophelia showmance is closed right now. I think that it exists, and I think it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. I don't really think that Daniel Salazar is going to love Nick as a potential suitor for Ophelia either. So I don't know exactly how we're going to work this out because, you know, we sort of leave things at the end of the episode where it's like, okay, well, Madison negotiated this deal, but I can't imagine that Walker is going to love this deal that Madison negotiated where they were going to get a stockpile of water back at the bazaar, which wasn't going to cost them all of the guns at the ranch. I can't imagine that Walker or his people will be thrilled with this idea.
I mean, Walker seemed kind of thrilled at the end of this episode, right? You know, he's you know, walking home, as is his name. And suddenly Madison shows up and she's got a huge tanker filled with water. And I don't know if it's like he's psyched that the deal has gone through.
Well, he doesn't know about the deal. He just thinks that she has a tanker full of water. He doesn't know what she traded. He doesn't know what that cost yet.
Right. So we don't know what the extent of it is going to be. And it really might just be like, oh, thank God. I haven't talked to you about this yet, but I really do have a bum left knee. And so this journey has been difficult. And so you're showing up at the perfect time. I really could use a lift. Like, it might just be like the guttural physical satisfaction of getting a ride. But I feel like the shorthand of having him so psyched and having that kind of be a joyous moment, a moment of victory for the ranchers, you know, the combined forces of the ranchers right now. I do think that that suggests to me that Walker is going to walk away from this deal impressed with Madison's ability to produce results. I think that it makes more sense for them to be on the same page right now if we're starting to think about the fact that, like, Troy is out there in the distance and probably going to brew some trouble for these people. I think to have Madison and Walker kind of on the same page probably makes some sense to me. Do you think it makes more sense for the show to have him still in conflict with Madison right now?
Well, I feel like that we have so many different conflicts that are going on, but none of them are really united where we have everything that's going on. So Troy could come back. The militia could get back together. Maybe the militia doesn't like the whole idea with the guns, and maybe Walker is on board with this, but maybe his people aren't. Maybe once Salazar has the guns, he decides, okay, we want to take Ophelia back, and now you can't stop me from taking her back because we have all of your guns. So I don't know necessarily how there's one sort of like thing that unites all of these fronts in this storyline.
So how are you feeling about the fact that clearly Daniel and Ophelia are reuniting in the very near future? Are you excited about the Salazar reunion? How do you expect that to go? Because we did see some scenes in this episode where Daniel's kind of like, finally, with the idea that Ophelia is alive and there's a concrete destination, that there's like a very obvious way of reconnecting with Ophelia should he choose to trust Madison, he can reconnect with his daughter. And finally, he's kind of just like, yeah, like, but maybe okay. She's better off.
Yeah. As long as she's okay. That's all I needed to know.
Yeah. So what are you predicting for however that reunion is going to go?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it will be very happy at first, but I do think that he does not approve of Walker. And she basically, from what we saw last season, I mean, she's all in on Walker and everything that's going on with his people. And their fight is her fight at this point. And I think that he's going to say, okay, now you come live with me at the dam. And she's going to say, no, I have to stay with Walker. I have to stay at the ranch.
Yeah, I do wonder. I mean, I don't have the fresh enough memory to remember exactly like what she was really thinking about her father in their most recent interactions, like their most recent physical interactions, like being in each other's worlds. But Ophelia definitely has changed dramatically. Like, she has become weaponized. She's become a soldier. She has become part of a war, and she has been somebody who has proven that she is willing to potentially claim many, many lives in the name of a cause that she's really just signed on for. So she's a little bit fair weather, you know, that is proven about her. So I wonder, like, how quickly she would shift back to her father, or does she feel like a sense of independence away from that? And is Salazar correct when he's talking about she's probably just better off on her own, or at least she's like living her own thing? So I'm really curious about how that interaction is going to go. Do you think that she's smitten with Walker?
Yes.
I mean, hard to blame her.
Why, you're a big Walker guy?
I like Walker. I think Walker's great. I think Michael Greyhouse is, you know, he's adding a lot to Fear the Walking Dead. I think that he brings some energy that I do quite enjoy. Why, are you not feeling the Walker, Rob?
I mean, he's okay.
He's okay.
He's okay. I mean, for me, I don't understand why Madison, once she gets the invitation to go live at the dam with Lola, I think she should have been like, okay, yes, peace out.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's like,
yes,
no,
yes.
But I really like ranches. I really want to see this ranch. I really want it.
The views.
I'm a ranch girl.
You
come
know,
on.
Just like the space, and you know, you can see for miles. Yeah, no, she. I thought the same thing. Where it's like,
just
want
to go
I,
to Cheap Trick and live on a ranch, yeah, get a perm.
I cannot invite all of you guys here, but I can invite the Clarks. And like, Madison should have just like hit the buzzer and been like, deal, yes, close the briefcase. I'm in.
Take it.
I am all in, Howie. Yeah. Like, I will take the deal. I am here. And then she finds out that she's got, like, the $5.
I just want to talk like Madison the rest of the podcast.
Keep going. I won't stop you.
Come on. Trust me on this. Listen to me.
Want to ride? Yeah.
You want to ride? You thirsty?
Love that, Kim Dickens.
You want to get my ranch?
Such a Dickens, Kim Dickens.
you know what my favorite salad dressing is?
What's her favorite salad dressing?
It's not Thousand Islands. All right. We still got more to go here today on our Fear the Walking Dead recap. Let me just take a moment and thank a sponsor for our podcast, other friends over at TrueCar. And boy, TrueCar comes in very handy because when you're going into buying a new or used car, Josh, that's a negotiation. And if they're anything like the negotiations on Fear the Walking Dead, you're going to need all the help that you can get. Because when you're looking to buy that car, you want to make sure you're getting real pricing on the actual inventory. And a lot of times that's not the case when you configure cars online, because you're messing around with, okay, put this in there, put this in there, put this in there, and then you get to the lot and they don't have that car and it's not the price that you figured out online. But with TrueCar, they've got a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency, offering you a competitive market price. Say you want a Volkswagen Beetle, like the one that Strand put over the manhole cover, right? TrueCar can help you find that.
What if I wanted a tanker, like a truck that could carry lots and lots of water from a Peeps?
A truck, they have a water tanker. I think you'd have to go and check that out online, because TrueCar, they can help you easily find the car that you want. And TrueCar will show you what other people in your area are paying for the same car you're looking for. Over 3 million cars have been sold to the TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. You can work directly with a TrueCar Certified Dealer contact, and TrueCar users are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with the TrueCar certified dealers. And best of all, Josh, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Can we talk about Strand yet?
Yes, yes, yes. God, please, yes. Great to have Victor Strand and Madison Clark back together, right? Like, this is one of the best friendships that we have seen in both Walking Dead shows, and it's really not close.
Yeah, no, they are great. And for whatever reason, that she really does put up with him. There's almost like no other character.
She loves him. Loves him. Loves Victor Strand. Just I love, like, that you say for some reason. For some reason, he's so charismatic. He's so much fun. Like, if you get Strand, and if it's like, Strand, you scoundrel, all right, get back to your old tricks and help us out of here, scoundrel.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, yeah, I got this.
Wait,
like,
is that a connection there, that Madison just wanted tickets to Cheap Trick and she likes Strand so much?
I think that's
tricks?
Right. I think that's part of it. I think that's a big part of it. But, you know, I really do think that one of the great talents talents of Kim Dickens, the actress who plays Madison Clark, is like she just has this skill when she needs a scene partner. I think, you know, Dayton Calley, who played Otto, who played Jeremiah Otto in the first half of the season, they're very legendary for their great, great relationship on Deadwood, the HBO show. And she just has this thing where, like, if she can kind of, like, latch on to a scene partner, I think that you get a lot of, like, even on Lost, like her scenes with Sawyer or her scenes with Kate, like, those were always really, really fun. Like, she's just a great scene partner. And I think that the partnership that she has with Coleman Domingo as Strand, it really is palpable. So it's very fun to have these two characters back in the mix. I especially like it now that Travis is kind of removed from the playing field, that he is no longer a narrative concern, that it's really just about, like, these two friends, like, these two people who kind of, like, in this weird post-apocalyptic world where they probably never would have met otherwise and never really would have gotten along otherwise, they're just vibing together and, like, they're getting each other and they're figuring it out and they're working together really seamlessly. I love it. So any scene with Madison and Strand, I am all the way in. Like, if Fear the Walking Dead was nothing but Strand and Madison, and we talked about this last week, like, if you extricated all of the characters from the show and only left a couple of people left behind, like, if season four is Madison and Strand and everyone else is gone, sign me up, man. I am all the way there.
You know, on the surface, it's like, yeah, these two people have nothing in common. But if you actually do dig a little bit deeper, that they both share this bond of being grifters. And even though that was not Madison's life from before the whole zombie apocalypse happened, really, since it has happened, she has become sort of like this con person, and specifically like this long con person of, okay, we're going to, you know, take over this ranch one day, but we have to put on this appearance of that we are this certain person. And so she's willing to do whatever it takes to keep her family safe. And if that means going along with some sort of a con or a scheme that Strand has, like, she's very open to the idea.
How great was it in the tunnels where they finally have that moment where Strand is like, oh God, Madison. So, hey, I don't know where we are right now in these shitty, literally shitty tunnels right now. I have no idea where we are. And
that's good.
And Salazar is there and he hates me because I lied about Ophelia. And Madison immediately is like, all right, so this is great because, like, I know where Ophelia is, so I can save you there. And Strand immediately was like, oh, thank God. Oh, sweet, sweet God. Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Thank you, Madison. I'm so happy that you know where Ophelia is.
Yeah. What was with the tunnels and all the eyes painted in the tunnel? Did you follow what was going on there? I mean, we invented this whole subplot here where Strand is talking about the Proctors put the eye there. I mean, are we setting up a new subplot that this is like some sort of secret society, the Proctors?
Oh my God, the Proctors. So they're just like going to be like standing there in the tunnels, making sure that you're not cheating as you're taking the exam.
Yeah. That's how Strand got in trouble at the bazaar. He must have been cheating on the exam.
Yeah, how bizarre that the Proctors have survived.
How bizarre.
Yeah, they're really shocking that the Proctors all gathered together and decided, like, you know, the time is now for us to make sure that we are in charge and supervising the flow, the ebb and flow of the apocalypse, or at least these tunnels.
Yeah.
No, I didn't understand the Proctor mythology, I have to say.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get that somewhere along the way. But certainly a fishy award to Strand this week, who ultimately makes a some sort of like improvised explosive device.
He straight up MacGyvers it, man. Yeah. Like, he's just like full on MacGruber-ing this thing. Like, it's just spectacular. Strand has hit his stride. He's back. He is fully, fully in. He's like, I saw that on a TV show and I knew exactly what to do. And Madison's like, God, Strand, you're the best. And like, yeah, everybody else who's watching Fear the Walking Dead in that moment is also saying, Strand, you are the best.
Did you suspect something was up?
Yeah, of course. Like, yeah. I think that, like, it's lobbed up by the fact that Salazar and Strand are having that moment where Salazar is like, hey, Strand, like, if you're doing something that's going to be in my interest, like, I'm all in. If you're going to do something that's not in my interest, I will figure it out and I will find you. And Strand's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, he just is kind of like, I'm not in on that. And then that kind of clues you in on the fact that he's probably in on it. And it does make you wonder, like, what is going to be the end game with the villagers, because they were not involved in this act of sabotage. And so there is this tension that is brewing at the dam that's kind of manufactured. And it makes you wonder, like, did Salazar just expedite a tension that is now going to boil over and is going to cause a problem at this really crucial location, you know, this like social and political and just like physical survival nexus point for these people. Like, was this short-term solution of like, let's get the F out of here, let's get some water, let's bring it back, let's start some, you know, start to solidify some relationships. Is this ultimately going to backfire? You got to imagine that it's going to.
Well, that was the thing that confused me in terms of this explosion that they rig up. Okay, so okay, I understand why they would do that and then go to Lola and say, look what the villagers are doing now. But then when the angry villagers sort of seize on that opportunity, they just heard the loud noise to come down and with their Down with the Water Queen protests.
Yeah, and who anointed her the Water Queen? You know, like, how did that happen?
I don't know.
Where was what was the ceremony where Lola?
PR. She's got to some, they've just come up with these attacks against her.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Water Queen is a really cool title. And I feel like she should really just lean into that because it just sounds cool. You want to be the Water Queen. And I think that Lola's move is she needs to like get the proper attire. She needs to make an example of somebody. Maybe she made an example of this waterlogged walker that we talked about at the start of the episode. Like, maybe that was the Water Queen's first victim. Who really knows?
The thing at the start of the episode was that it really feels as though Salazar has instigated a lot of these problems by sort of like firing on these innocent people that want the
Salazar
water.
Salazar has gone like full Salazar. Like, he has gone way back to like Civil War Salazar.
Like he just wanted some water, and then Salazar is like opening fire on them. Like, that really fat guy ended up getting shot because of Salazar, right?
It's really bad because Salazar's like, I'm good. Like, I'm totally fine. I'm not talking to my dead wife anymore. Like, I've definitely progressed. But it's like, no, man, you are like straight up killing people and you are incurring a new civil war. And you should probably stop and reevaluate what your actions are because you are contributing to a problem, a very serious problem right now.
Yeah. I don't know why Salazar feels the need to get everybody all riled up.
He should really just take a nap. That guy needs to. He needs to sleep. He needs a minute off. I think that guy needs just like a hot meal. You know, maybe he should have hopped in the tanker and like taken it. I don't know why he didn't just hop in the tanker and go back to the ranch and like hang out with Ophelia. Like, okay, so Ophelia's there. Like, he trusts Madison enough to give her a crap ton of water.
Word. He was going to stay at the dam.
Stop that. Stop
that's
that.
What he said. All right, Josh, next week, it looks like we're going to do the format where I bet next week we don't get any Madison, Strand, or Walker, and it's all Nick and Alicia and Jake Otto next week.
What is going to be the status of Jake Otto's forehead scar? Like, where are we going to be with the forehead scar? You know, when he got scalped or almost scalped
nicely,
by Taka Walker.
Healing nicely.
You don't think that we're going to get, like, kind of like the sexy, like, G.I. Joe 12-inch action figure scar on, like, the side of the forehead where it's just going to be, like, kind of, like, paling into the background? You think it's going to be gone completely?
Yeah, I think that he'll be fine after. I mean, it seemed like in the season premiere, the bigger issue with him was that he was still, like, anthraxed.
Yeah, he still had tummy.
He was still like coughing and sneezing, and I was like, "Oh, I'm not." But I think that it was that he was recovering.
What are the odds on a Troy Otto sighting?
I think probably too early, but maybe we could see sort of like the militia having meetings and maybe he's like sneaking into the militia meetings.
What are the odds of a further Jeremiah Otto sighting? I know that he's dead and decisively so, but we've also seen him exist in VHS form.
Yeah,
and Fear the Walking Dead isn't going to shy away from flashback. Yeah, do you think that we have seen the last of Jeremiah Otto, or do you think that this could be a moment?
I think probably, but I'm on the show's IMDb page, and he's still credited as somebody in the cast, so I don't know if it's just because of from his work in the first half of season 3, so we will see.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited to see where that's all going.
All right, Josh. So next time on Fear the Walking Dead, we'll pick things up back at the ranch to discuss everything that is going on there. And sadly, you and I, this will be our last Fear the Walking Dead recap together for the next little bit, as Jessica Lease will be catching up, and I will start my Fear the Walking Dead recaps with her.
You, I'm going to be having... I've drowned in the tunnels somewhere along the way.
No.
And Jessica, who is fantastic.
We will meet up again, much like Daniel and Ophelia, that we keep separating on Fear the Walking Dead. And I have no doubt that one day we will be podcasting Fear the Walking Dead again. And of course, we'll be back together for the regular Walking Dead coming up in about 6 weeks.
I can't wait. It's going to be very fun. I can't wait to hear what Jessica thinks about this show. I think that she is, I don't know if she's going to be as kind as I've been, and I don't know that I've been like super kind. So I'm really excited to get what Jessica's take on the show is. So that'll be fun podcasting for sure. And yeah, I'll show back up maybe towards the end, maybe for the finale. I think that'll be fun.
Okay. And of course, be on the lookout for on post-show recaps. We've got our Star Trek Discovery podcast embarking in 1 week's time as well, and be on the lookout for some of the Star Trek rewatch podcasts that I've been doing. I just posted another one over the weekend with John Krause talking about the episode of Star Trek The Next Generation Disaster from season 5, where the Enterprise is completely thrown off course and broken down, and everybody is put into all these crazy situations, Josh.
That just sounds like every episode of Star Trek, just like for the layman, you know?
Yeah. And of course, that I talked about City on the Edge of Forever with David Wright as well on that Star Trek feed. So be on the lookout for that. You could subscribe to that podcast feed at posterrecaps.com/Star Trek. Follow Josh Wigler on Twitter at Round Howard. Josh, anything else?
We got some Game of Thrones podcasting still happening here on Post Show Recaps. We have
Winter
just launched. Winter was here, and winter is still here as Rob and I are crawling through the history of Westeros. We are talking about Game of Thrones one episode at a time. We have podcasted about the very first episode of the entire series already, and we are gearing up to talk about the second episode of the whole show. So our rewatch continues.
Okay. Be on the lookout for that. All on postshowrecaps.com. Subscribe to Post Show Recaps. postshowrecaps.com/iTunes. Josh, anything else?
Nothing.
Hashtag Vintage Victor or Taka Dead?
Taka Dead. Taka Dead.
Taka Dead.
I want to watch the Taka Dead
all
day, every day.
Take care. Have a good one. Bye.